really stay focused. So if I am going here and there, you please raise your hands and tell me that I am, because I won't be able to complete otherwise. So I just wanted you to take rest, because the essence of all that we have spent time for, you know, this Chatushlaki Bhagavatam, that's what we are going to see now. So it won't make sense if most of you are dozing while this is being discussed. Especially, you know, most of what we are going to see today, maybe the whole class would be these four verses only. So, yesterday, we ended the class with Brahmaji's questions to the Supreme Lord Narayan. What are the first question? Please speak about the material and spiritual forms of the Supreme Lord. What is the second question? What is the role of Yoga Maya and Mahamaya? And what is the third question? How does the Lord relate with Yoga Maya and Mahamaya, or the realms which are controlled by Yoga Maya and Mahamaya? And what is the fourth question? While engaged in my services, how do I protect myself from the influence of mode of passion and mode of ignorance? So these four questions will be answered by the Supreme Lord. So as I told before, the two verses he gives prelude to what he is going to speak about, and then four verses is Chatushloki, and then one verse he talks about how to apply the teachings of Chatushloki. So seven verses now the Lord will speak, and then he will leave. So that's what we are going to see now. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Jnanam Parama Guhyam Me Yadvijnana Samanvitam Saharahasyam Tadangam Cha Grahana Gaditam Maya. Grahana. So already this Brahmaji is hearing directly from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he is already very attentive. But because of the nature of the subject matter that the Supreme Lord is going to speak now, he says, please be attentive, grahana. Many times in Bhagavad Gita also, not that Arjuna is inattentive, but the Lord says, please hear, tachrano, when he is going to speak a very important subject matter. So here, he starts by telling, Grahana, please be attentive, my dear Brahmaji. Please understand, because Jnanam Paramaguhyam Me, I am going to tell you the most secret knowledge about my form. Jnanam Paramaguhyam Me. Yad Vijnana Samanvitam. I will not just give you the knowledge of my form, but I will also give you the realization of that. And sa rahasyam, what is the means to attain that realization? Is prema bhakti. And what is the means of attaining prema bhakti? Sadhana bhakti, tad angam, that is mentioned as tad angam. So gaditam maya, while I am going to speak to you, the knowledge is a part of sadhana bhakti, and the realization is a part of prema bhakti. So while practicing sadhana bhakti, we accept various kinds of knowledge, transcendental knowledge, as being theoretically true, and with faith that this knowledge must be true, we perform our practices. And over a period of time, when this sadhana bhakti culminates in prema, all this knowledge also culminates in realization. When the living entity comes in touch with the samvit shakti of the Supreme Lord at the stage of bhava and prema, all this knowledge gets transformed into realization. So basically, Brahmaji, the Supreme Lord is promising two things, four things. He says, Jnanam paramaguhyamme. I'm going to tell you the most confidential knowledge about my form and the means to attain that knowledge. Sarahasyam, prema bhakti. Sorry, tadangam, that is sadhana bhakti. And I am not just going to give you the knowledge about my form, but you will also realize it. And the means to realize it is sarahasyam, prema bhakti. Jnanam paramaguhyam me yad vijnana samanvitam. Vijnana is the realization. And the means to attain that realization is sarahasyam, prema bhakti. And the means to attain the knowledge is tadangam, sadhana bhakti. Is it clear? So these four things the Supreme Lord is promising here to Brahmaji. So Srila Prabhupada here writes in the purport, this verse indicates that knowledge about the Lord can only be realized if it is mercifully revealed by the Lord. Where is merciful revelation indicated here in this verse? Carefully look at the verse and tell me, where is merciful revelation by the Lord indicated here? I'll read the sentence again carefully here. This verse indicates that knowledge about the Lord can only be realized if it is mercifully revealed by the Lord. Gaditam maya, he says. The means to understand this is only if I reveal it to you, I speak it to you. Otherwise, you cannot understand. The personal form of the Lord is paramaguhyam. Okay? That is what Prabhupada is also mentioning. The personal form of the Lord is paramaguhyam and can only be realized by devotional service. That is indicated. Sarahasyam. But to attain that prema bhakti, one has to perform sadhana bhakti. Tadangam cha. So same thing Prabhupada has also explained in his purport. Is it clear? So now, what does it mean to realize the form of the Lord? That he explains in the next verse. The Supreme Lord. Yavanaham yatabhavo yadrupa gunakarmakah tatayva tatva vijnanam astute madanugrahat. Madanugrahat, by my mercy, astute, may you attain, as in tatastu. Astute tatva vijnanam, perfect realization of tatayva Yavan yata bhavo yadrupa guna karma kaha. May you attain perfect realization of whatever dimensions, intentions, forms, qualities and pastimes that I manifest in various avatars. Whenever I descend, you will have perfect, not only darshan, but you will also realize my intentions, you will understand my qualities and appreciate my qualities. You will be able to see my pastimes and you will be perfectly able to see me with the proper dimensions and everything. So all of that will be revealed to you if you follow this process. So that's what he is telling here. Yavanaham yatabhavo yadrupa gunakarmakah tataiva tatva vijnanam astute madanugrahat. So, here, Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, the secret of understanding the Lord is His mercy. Where is it indicated? The secret of understanding the Lord is His mercy. Madanugrahat. The analogy that is given is, A father tells his family secrets only to his pet son. Similarly, the Lord will reveal intricacies about him only to a devotee. This he does even to the extent of revealing the dimensions of his form. What is Prabhupada talking about? Yavan. Yad Rupam indicates various complexions, forms, arms, etc. of various avatars. Yad Guna refers to various qualities like Bhakta Vatsalya. By mention of his Rupa, Guna, Karma, etc., impersonalism is completely refuted. The absolute truth cannot be impersonal. Or rather, the absolute truth cannot be just impersonal. We also don't reject the impersonal nature of the absolute truth. Just like we don't reject that, you know, there is no light in the train. We understand the light in the right perspective. The same way, we don't reject that the absolute truth, we don't say that the absolute truth has no impersonal feature, or the absolute truth is not impersonal. The impersonal aspect of the absolute truth is also true, factual, and the personal form is also factual, and the impersonal aspect is supported by the personal form is also factual. Brahmano hi pratishta aham, Krishna says. So we understand both the aspects in the right perspective. We don't reject any aspect. Okay. So this is the promise given by Lord, the Supreme Lord, to Brahmaji, that I'll give you the perfect knowledge about my form, along with the realization of that form, the means to attain that realization, which is Prema Bhakti. And how will you attain Prema Bhakti? Because I am going to give you Sadhana Bhakti. And when you practice that Sadhana Bhakti sincerely, over a period of time, it will culminate in Prema Bhakti. And all this knowledge will transform into realization. And when you realize, what does it mean to realize my form? Yavanaham Yatabhavo Yadrupa Gunakarmakaha Tataiva Tatta Vigyanam Astute Matavagrahat. And when you attain that realization, you will understand all the dimensions, intentions, forms, qualities and pastimes that I manifest in various avataras. So with this promise, he is going to answer the first question asked by Brahmaji. Please speak about the material and spiritual forms. Famous verse. Aham meva sameva gre nanyad yat sadasat param paschadaham yade tacha yova shishyeta sosmiham. First we will see the basic translation, then we will take each word and then try to understand the depth of what this verse is talking about. So first he says, aham eva, I alone, na anyad, and who am I? I am non-different from yat sadasat param, that which is superior to all cause and effect. Existed, asam, aham eva asam eva agre, I only existed previous to the creation of the universe. And who is that I? Yat sadasat param, I am non-different from that which is superior to all cause and effect. Paschadaham yadevacha, I only exist after the creation of the universe. Yovashishyeta sosmiham, and after dissolution, I only remain. This is the basic translation of this verse. I existed before creation, I only existed after creation, and I would only exist after dissolution. This is the basic explanation of this verse. So now, we have to understand the word agre here refers to the time before creation. That is the context of this explanation. The word agre does not refer to originally I only existed. There were no living entities, not like that. So Agra refers to the time before creation. Okay. So now, how do we know that what about Brahmaji, what about Lord Shiva, did they exist or not? All these questions come. So therefore, he quotes various verses to prove. Vasudeva va idamagra asid na brahma na cha shankarah. Shrutis say that Vasudeva va idam agra asid. Only Lord Vasudeva existed in the beginning before creation. Na brahma na cha shankarah. Not Lord Brahma, not Lord Shiva. Purushoha vai narayanah. The original Purusha is only Narayan. Eko havai narayana asid. Originally only the Supreme Lord Narayan existed. Purusho havai narayano akamayata atha narayanad ajo ajayata yata sarvani bhutani. Purusho havai narayano akamayata. Originally the Supreme Lord Narayan desired to become many. Atha narayanad. Subsequently from Narayan, ajo ajayata, Brahmaji appeared. Yataha, from Brahmaji, sarvani bhutani. All the living entities got their bodies. Eko narayana asi na brahma na ishanah. Initially only Lord Narayan existed, not Brahma, not Lord Shiva. Like that, various shruti proofs are given to establish this fact. Aham evasam evagre, only Lord Narayan existed before. And some smriti proofs are also given. One proof from third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam only. Bhagavan eka asedam agra atmatmanam vibhu atmecha anagata vatma nana matyupalakshanah. Bhagavan, who exists in the form of Paramatma and Brahman, according to the viewpoint, alone existed before the creation of the universe, when the desire to create the bodies of the jivas was absent. So all these proofs are given by the acharyas to establish that originally only Lord Narayan existed before the creation. Okay. You carefully listen to all these things because you have to recollect the whole discussion that we had. Then, the next point is that when the Lord says, I alone existed, what else does it imply? Just think about it. And the Lord says, I only existed before creation, then what does it imply? Okay. Okay. I am asking something much more basic. Something much more basic. Only the Lord existed means? That's not implied. That's, you have to know about the Lord. Let's say someone does not know anything about the Lord. When I say that he only existed, there is something more fundamental that it implies. Huh? Correct. He must have existed somewhere, right? So that place must also have existed before creation, right? So his dham is also eternal. So there are many. His dham in the spiritual world is eternal. Even within the material world, there are many places. There are, I think, 6 or 7. The other day I was sharing with you. There are 6 or 7 Vaikunthas that are mentioned within the material world at different places. Dhruvaloka being one, and in the milk ocean, one of the seven oceans, that is one. Like that, there are different places that are mentioned which are also Vaikunthas within the material world. And when Mother Earth sank, the Bhumandal sank, and Varahadevi was lifting her her from Garbhodaka and then coming up like that. On the way, they were having a conversation while this whole thing. So, Bhumi Devi was curious. So, she asked Varahadev, where are you going to put me? And he says that, wherever I see some green grass or something like that, I'll put you there. And she was wondering that, how can there be any green grass? And I have sunk completely inside. So, if at all there is any green grass, it must be on my surface only. So, Varahadev says, just wait. And he comes up and actually he shows to Bhumi Devi that there is actually some green grass and some buildings and things like that. So, he says, don't think that these places, even though they are in you, they are not material. So, some of the prominent dhams, they didn't sink and they didn't become unmanifest. So even during Pralaya, it is said Jagannath Puri and such places, they don't get destroyed. Vrindavan, they don't get destroyed. They may become unmanifest from our eyes. What to speak of unmanifesting from our eyes? We ourselves won't be there to verify whether they are there or not. So the point is that the Shastras say that they don't get destroyed. So if the Lord existed prior to creation, then his Dham must also be eternal, where he existed. This is also proved by quoting a verse from the 2nd Canto 8th chapter. Sachapi yatra purusho vishvastiti udbhavapyayah muktvatma mayam mayesha shete sarva guhashayah. So, Parikshit Maharaj asks, where does he lie down? So, which means the place where he lies down must have also existed before creation. And also, another thing is that we all, the Lord must have also, one who accepts the absolute truth will understand that the Lord cannot just have activities with respect to this material world. Create, maintain, destroy. Create, maintain, destroy. That anyway, it is already mentioned that he deputes it to his energies. So there must be something he must be doing personally that he likes to do. He is the supreme conscious living entity. He can't act like a jada vastu. He must be having some conscious activities with personalities. So therefore, if his dham is eternal, then he must be having some eternal associates also there with whom he interacts and has some pastimes. Otherwise, just because already it has been mentioned that the creation, maintenance and destruction is deputed to his energies, he doesn't personally do it. So therefore, aham eva samayava agre also indicates that his devotees must have also existed prior to creation. His Nityasiddha devotees. Of course, one should understand that the living entities are eternal. Even the Nitya Baddhas are eternal. But they are unmanifest. They all are inside the body of Karanataka Sai Vishnu before the creation. Okay, they are not manifest. And inside the body of Karanataka Sai Vishnu, they are in a state of sleep. They are put to sleep. Because that state of not having a gross or subtle body to enjoy, to fulfill their desires, is such a painful state that even though in one sense no gross body, no subtle body means it's liberation. But that's the most distressful state of the living entity. There are absolutely no facility to enjoy, but with all the desires not yet gone, it's a very, very excruciating situation which is unbearable for the living entity. So therefore, every single living entity inside the body of Karanataka Sai Vishnu is put to sleep. So therefore, we are not suffering due to our gross and subtle body. The gross and subtle body is meant to mitigate our suffering, which would have been unbearable had the gross and subtle body not been there. So we should be, if removal of gross and subtle body would anyway mitigate our suffering, then if removal of gross and subtle body in itself would give us extreme happiness or the happiness of liberation, then bliss must be at least half liberated and ecstatic, at least half ecstatic. But we hear that they are in extreme distress. They are some of the real, you know, that's why they say that don't ever think that you will mitigate your suffering by committing suicide. Because if you commit suicide and become a ghost, it's much more excruciating. It's a very distressful state. And million times more distressful is if you lose your subtle body also. Because through subtle body, at least some kinds of enjoyment you can have. But when the subtle body is also not there, there is absolutely no scope for enjoying at all. And that state is a very, very distressful state. Kapiladeva mentions, it is like nashta vitta iva atura. That living entity feels like a very, very rich man who has suddenly lost all his riches. So he feels extremely despondent. That person has become extremely attached to his wealth. But suddenly when the gross body and subtle body is gone, he feels that, you know, I don't have any scope for enjoyment, but I have all these desires for enjoying. So, because it's such an excruciating situation, the Lord puts all those living entities into a state of sleep. For how long? About 311 trillion years. About one lifetime of Brahma. Roughly about that time. So the living entities are all sleeping. Can you pass the mic to Ashutosh Prabhu?
You just said it is a very excruciating experience, but I'm not able to understand, because the soul itself is in its purest form with spiritual senses, and it has foregone its subtle body. That means no false ego, no mind. So,
no.
How?
That's not the right understanding. See, we have a perverted understanding of causality. We think that false ego is caused due to acquiring gross and subtle body, and material desires are also manifest due to acquisition of gross and subtle body. But it's the other way around. The gross and subtle body are acquired because of our desires to enjoy separately from Krishna. So this is the order. First comes desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. Then Mayadevi comes and says, how do you want to enjoy separately from Krishna? These are the various options. Then we say, oh, this way. At that time, we develop particular desires. This is how I want to enjoy separately from Krishna. Then she facilitates it by giving a particular kind of gross body and subtle body through which you can enjoy separately from Krishna in that particular way. So, when the gross and subtle body is gone, the desires to enjoy have not gone.
Where are those desires stored? There is.
That's a good point. So now, you see, in today's day and age, I make a PowerPoint presentation and I can store it in a pen drive. No one can see. You look at the pen drive, it makes no sense. How can someone who knows, he knows. And nowadays you don't need a pen drive also. You can, they say you can store it in a cloud. Okay. Even ordinary human being can have such technology to store things. Can't the Supreme Lord have a way of storing the desires of the living entity and give access? While the living entity is living, he has access to his desires through the subtle body. So, but when the living entity is inside the body of Karunadaka Sai Vishnu, it's not that he cannot access his desires. Just like, why here I may use my pen drive or I may have all my files in my laptop, but when I am traveling somewhere and I am not taking my laptop, one may say, oh, you can't access your files, but I might have stored it in the cloud. I may access it from anywhere. So if living entity, if ordinary living entities have, in Kali Yuga, have such technologies, then isn't the Supreme Lord intelligent enough? So the fact is that, so therefore, we have to take the words of the Shastras. We can't understand such technologies. How does the Lord, first thing we have to ask is, how can the living entity access its desire? What is your basis of even accepting that there is a subtle body or something? That's all based on Shastra only. So if that can be accepted based on Shastra, then this can also be accepted based on Shastra. Muktakesh Prabhu, can you pass? There will be spiritual subtle body also. So the desires will be there. No, that is not spiritual subtle body. Inside, spiritual subtle body is in the, after one purifies one's subtle body, purifies one's desires, that's where one gets spiritual subtle body. Not when one's gross body and subtle body are forcibly taken away. He is not yet spiritualized. His desires are not spiritualized. When the desires are spiritualized, that's when he gets a spiritual subtle body.
Along with soul, like we hear that now, along with soul, subtle body and gross body is there, but it is covered with material gross, material subtle, and gross, material gross body. Means we are always having spiritual subtle and gross body.
We are always having means, not really. When we are practicing devotional service, then slowly, when the material impressions are removed and when you replace them with spiritual impressions, that's when it becomes a spiritual subtle body. So materialists have a subtle body which is material. The pure devotees, at the stage of prema, they have a subtle body which is completely spiritual. But sadhakas have a subtle body which is partly material and partly spiritual. Our subtle bodies are partly material, partly spiritual. Material to the extent of material impressions, those are still there. And spiritual to the extent we have accumulated spiritual impressions. That's the understanding. Okay. So, so the devotees also, the Nityasiddha devotees are also eternal. Of course, I am clarifying, the reason why we had all this discussion is that the living entities are always eternal, whether it is Nityasiddha or Nityabaddha. But the Nityasiddhas, they are always manifest in the spiritual world. Whereas the Nityabaddha living entities, at the time of annihilation, they go inside the body of Karunadaka Sai Vishnu and they are not manifest. So, that's the point. So, he quotes a verse from the Skanda Puran to prove this. Na chyavante vi madbhakta mahatyam pralayapadi ato achyuto kile loke sa ekas sarvago avyayaha. My devotees do not perish even at the time of universal destruction. The Lord alone is indestructible and all pervading in all planets. Don't these two sentences sound contradictory? Read the two sentences and see. They seem absolutely contradictory. But there is a sense of logic that the author is expecting us to accept. He cannot write two sentences which are... This indicates that the pure devotees are the Nityasiddha devotees are too, so much part of the existence of the Supreme Lord. Their existence is so much intertwined with the existence of the Supreme Lord. That is that you are expected to assume and accept. Yeah. Otherwise, these two sentences are like absolutely contradictory. My devotees do not perish even at the time of universal destruction. The Lord alone is indestructible and all-pervading, which means the devotees are destructible. That's our mundane logic. But here, the Lord is not expecting us to subscribe to this mundane logic. He's telling, you know, I am talking about a different logic. My devotees are inseparable from me. So if I am eternal, my devotees are eternal. They are not destroyed during pralaya, like that. So, then one may say the word asam, so that is aham eva sam eva agri. Okay. And in this, the word asam indicates mere existence without any activities. That's what literally the word asam. It is like telling the word asam literally excludes activities. He just stayed. He didn't do anything. अरे अभी तो कुछ भी नहीं किया आपने प्रभु जी, कुछ भी नहीं किया. कुछ भी नहीं किया का ये मतलब नहीं है. और लाइक इट इज लाइक टेलिंग दैट द दैट द किंग इज नो लॉन्गर फंक्शनल. व्हेन यू से दैट इट डस नॉट मीन दैट द किंग is no longer eating, he is no longer brushing his teeth, he is no longer taking bath. That's not what it means. What it means is the king is no longer performing his kingly duties. Similarly, the word asam indicates no activities with respect to this material world. It is not time for creation, so the Supreme Lord is not creating, and because it has not yet been created, there is no maintenance, and because there is no existing material universe, therefore it need not be destroyed. So therefore, at the stage before creation, the Supreme Lord is not performing any activity with respect to this material universe. But that does not mean he is not performing any activity at all. He is very much active in the spiritual realm. So therefore, when we say that asam indicates inactivity, yes, it indicates inactivity with respect to this material world, but it does not indicate inactivity with respect to spiritual activities also. So therefore, the word asam indicates only inaction with respect to this material world and not inaction with respect to the spiritual world. Is it clear? So then, sometimes it is said that the Vedic scriptures say that initially only the Brahman existed, and from Brahman this whole material universe manifested. Okay, there are actual Shruti scriptures which say that, but here there seems to be a contradiction. The Lord says, "I existed in my personal form." So how do you reconcile this? that is reconciled in the second line of this verse. Nanyat yat sad asat param. Sad asat param means, sad means cause, asad means effect. Of course, this sad asad have unlimited meanings based on context. So, sad means pious, asad means impious. Or sometimes the word sad refers to superior and asad refers to inferior. And sometimes the word sad asad refers to cause and effect. So, the Brahman is said to be beyond cause and effect. Sad asad param. And the Lord says, Nanyad yat sad asad param. I am non-different from that which is said to be beyond cause and effect. Which means, I am non-different from Brahman. So therefore, when some Shruti scriptures say that originally only the Brahman existed and from Brahman all the universes manifested, there is no contradiction. Because the Supreme God is resolving the contradiction here by telling, I am non-different from that Brahman which is mentioned to be superior to all cause and effect. Sad asad means cause and effect. Yeah. Okay. Shleshnada Thakur says, sometimes it is said that only the impersonal Brahman existed. In answer to this, it is said in this verse, that Brahman which is superior to cause and effect is non-different from me. This means that I alone appear as the impersonal Brahman in some scriptures which cannot express my personal qualities due to the lack of qualification of the readers. So some readers who are not yet qualified to understand the personal form of the Lord, like they can approach the absolute truth only in his impersonal Brahman feature. So in order to make it understandable for such people who do not have qualification to accept and understand the personal feature of the Lord, some scriptures talk about the absolute truth in terms of being Brahman, 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 Brahman like that. Because they cannot relate to a personal form of the Lord. So therefore here he says, I am non-different from that Brahman, which is actually an understatement. The real understanding is Brahmanohi Pratishtaham. I support that Brahman. But Krishna here says, I don't have to go to that extent. For now you understand that I am non-different from that Brahman. That much is sufficient. That understanding will resolve the apparent contradiction. Further, when you are ready, I will tell you that Brahmanohi Pratishtaham. I support that Brahman. For now, it is just sufficient just to resolve this contradiction. For now, you can understand that that Brahman is non-different from me. That much is sufficient for you. He says, I am na anyad yat sadasat param. I am non-different from that Brahman which is which is superior to cause, all cause and effect. So in Bhagavad Gita also, many times Krishna does this, you know, do the needful thing. Sometimes he says that aham sarvasya chaham hridisannivishto mattasmitam jnanam apohanam cha. He says, I as the Paramatma is situated in everyone's heart. There he is identifying with the Paramatma. Elsewhere he says, Atava bahunaitena kimjatena tavarjuna vishtabhyam idam kritsnam eka amshena stito jagat. He says, in my one amsha, I am supporting this whole universe. So that amsha is Paramatma. Sometimes he says that, that amsha is my Paramatma, and sometimes he says that I only am existing. So many times, you know, when Krishna says that, mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sa characharam, he is identifying with Karanadaka Sai Vishnu. Matta parataram nanyat kinchidasti dananjaya. Mahi sarvam idam protam sutre manijanayaga. So there he is identifying with, you can say, Sutri Maniganaya refers to the Shiradeva Sai Vishnu feature. Sarvasichaham Hrivihan Nirishto, he is identifying with Shiradeva Sai Vishnu. So, and sometimes he puts it in the right perspective. Oh, that is just my Amsha. Eka Amshayanastito Jagat. And sometimes he says that Brahmano hi Pratishta Aham. So, like that, there is a seamless, you know, you can say Krishna identifying with his features. Sometimes it's just like telling, like I went last week to Mumbai and my uncle had, I had taken some ghee, GV ghee for my uncle who was staying in Mumbai. I had some work in Mumbai. He said, don't worry, I'll come and pick you up. I'll come and pick you up means I knew my uncle was not going to drive. His driver was driving the car and my uncle also came. And sometimes when he says, I'll come and pick you up, my uncle is not coming, only the driver is coming. But still that statement is valid. Sometimes he is identifying with his, you know, driver in this case, in one sense. So we use it seamlessly. So, like the owner of Ford company may say, oh, you want to see what we just created, our latest creation. He might not have personally gone into that manufacturing setup at all. He would be sitting only in his office. But still he claims that, you know, you want to see our latest creation. So, like that. So, there is no contradiction there. When Krishna says, you know, what is that? Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti. So one should not say, no, no, Krishna clearly says Maya Adhyakshena. So Krishna must be personally controlling the material energy. Krishna says Aham Bija Pradapita. Whom is he identifying with? Who is the Bija Pradapita? Karanadaka Sai Vishnu. Sometimes Krishna identifies with Brahmaji also. So where he says that Madbhava Manasa Jata, what is that verse? Chatvaro Manavastata. What is that? Any remember? 10th chapter he says that 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. He says that Maharshaya Saptapurvesh Chatvaro Manayastata Madbhava Manasa Jata Yesham Loke Ima Praja. So he says that Maharshaya Saptapurvesh, the 7 Saptarishis and the 14 Manus, they all are my Manasaputras, he says. They are not Krishna's Manasaputras. They are Brahmaji's Manasaputras. So Krishna says, oh, they are my Manasaputras. So, there he is even identifying with Brahmaji. So, sometimes this, and it's not a wrong identification for Krishna because all of them are his expansions only. Either Swamsha or Vibhinnamsha. So, therefore, it's not wrong on Krishna's part. Rather, in most cases, it's an understatement. Especially in Bhagavad Gita, whatever Krishna is stating as aham, 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 it's all understatement because all of that is performed not by him personally. It's all done by some, there are very few statements which he personally does. And those are seemingly insignificant statements. Like, ananyas chintayanto mam yejana pariyupasate, tesham nityabhi yuktanam yogakshema mahamiham. You know, when he says, I personally protect what he has and I personally give him what he lacks. When he talks about devotees, that small things Krishna personally does. Not Krishna as Karanadaka Sai Vishnu. Not Krishna as Shiradaka Sai Vishnu. Not Krishna as Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. Not Krishna through his energies, but Krishna personally. And Arjuna Acharya learnt it the hard way. He was willing to cut out that aham. and Krishna personally came and taught a lesson. But when it comes to all the other things that he mentions in the, about the big things that he mentions, that's all deputed. But seemingly big things, big from our perspective, but there is something else that is big from Krishna's perspective. From Krishna's perspective, to fulfill the desires of the devotees is a very important job. And rest, everything is not so important and can be deputed. But from our perspective, we may see that creation of such huge, not just in size, but in terms of sophistication. How sophisticated? Every small, minute thing is so sophisticated. Take a leaf and how, the chlorophyll reaches each and every part of the leaf and all the systems which carry the water, and all that, all sort of things. We may think that, such things need some really potent person to design all these things, but all that is deputed. Some seemingly want something which anyone can do, that Krishna wants to do it personally. So like that. So therefore he says that when Krishna says that I am non-different from that Brahman, which the scriptures say as being beyond or superior to cause and effect, that's an understatement. Like that, Bhagavad Gita is full of understatements actually, if you see. Whenever Krishna talks about himself, 99% of the times it is an understatement. He is talking about what his expansion does, and that expansion also deputes it to the energies. So when he says he does, it's really not, he has not done it at all, that's not his job at all. So therefore in that sense, the whole of Bhagavad Gita is filled with understatements when Krishna says that I personally do it. He doesn't personally do it at all. So, then paschad aham yadetaccha. So, when Krishna says, aham eva sam eva agre, I only existed before creation, in what form does he exist? In what form he exists? He exists in the form of the Lord of the spiritual world. Mahavishnu also, in Mahavishnu form he exists, and then the Lord of the spiritual world, Lord Narayan, Matsya Kurma Varaha Ityadi, not avatars. When they descend, they are avatars. In their own world, they are called Amsharupas. They all are there. So there are, even within Vaikuntha, there are two levels. One is Mahavaikuntha, where Lord Narayan stays. And then there are smaller Vaikunthas where the Amsha Rupas stay, Amsha expansions, Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narasimha, and all of them. And above that is the Krishna Loka. Now Krishna Loka is also divided. At the topmost is Goloka Vrindavan. Then there is, just slightly below that, there is Aishwarya Golok, where Radha and Krishna are only worshipped, but with some awe and reverence. If someone develops attraction for worshipping Radha and Krishna, and if they don't want to give up their Vaidhi sadhana, then their devotion culminates in prema with some Aishwarya. So they are more comfortable worshipping Lord Radha Krishna only, but with some awe and reverence. What will you? Everything is there, but just that the nature of worship is, it's with little awe and reverence. Not, they may be there, it depends. Gopis and Sakas will be there, but they will also be worshipping the Lord with some awe and reverence. That's just the nature of
even if we see in the material world, not different people have a different nature of relationship with their parents, and that's what they are comfortable with. I know one of my nephews, my cousin sister's son and daughter, both of them call their mother by name only. They don't call as mother, because that's how they grew up, and it's not, there is no disrespect there, but that's how they, and there are other cases where it is addressed with extreme reverence, like that. So different children also have different nature of relationship with their parents, and that's what the parents are also comfortable with and the children are also comfortable with. So we are not talking in terms of anything, this is inferior or superior, but some kind of relationship where both parties are absolutely comfortable. So that person in Aishwarya Golok, he is worshipping the Lord in Madhurya Golok. He has absolute reverence, but for personal worship he is comfortable worshipping in this mode only. He doesn't feel that he is missing out on anything. From our point of view, we may think that, oh, if something higher is available, why take something low? But it's not like that. So then below that is Mathura, where little more Aishwarya is there, and below that is Dwaraka, and below that is this Mahavaikuntha, where Lord Narayan is there, and below Mahavaikuntha is all the other Vaikunthas, of where the Amsharupa forms are there, and so on. So the Lord, all these expansions in the spiritual world are there before creation. And Karanagraha Vishnu's form is also there before creation. Then, after creation, the Lord exists in what form? Question or answer? Yeah. Mic is just next to you.
You said that this other Amsha, their Vaikuntha planets, those lords are also there.
Yeah.
But here there is no description of spiritual world. This is all about within material world only. So in material world, why
so you want to understand, but Acharyas are explaining it in a different way.
Achha.
So, question two. So the question is, where is the question of spiritual world here? Aren't we just discussing about the material world here? No, because aham eva asam, we accepted upon the spiritual dham also, the spiritual nitya-siddha devotees also. Where is the question of nitya-siddha devotees?
Nitya-siddhas, you told that there was six Vaikuntha within material.
Oh, that also. They are okay. Also, and also in the spiritual world.
Okay.
So after creation, the Lord exists in what form? Huh? The Lord in the spiritual world is there, in all these forms, in the Swayam Rupa form of Krishna, and then in all his expansions. Those other Krishna forms in Aishwarya Golok, Mathura, they are all Prakash expansions. Described in detail in Chaitanya Charitamrita also, Laghu Bhagavatamrita, still more elaborate description is there. Swayam Prakash, and then there is Vaibhav Prakash, Prabhav Prakash, and then there is Tadekatma Rupas, and within that there is Prabhav, Vaibhav, and so on. So many such descriptions are there. So many, all are Vishnu Tattvas. So they all are there after creation. Karanadagasai Vishnu is there after creation. The Lord in the form of Garbhodagasai Vishnu is there after creation. The Lord in the form of Shirodagasai Vishnu is there after the creation.
after creation, so many avatars descend. The Lord exists in all those forms. And finally, the Lord also exists in the form of his Virat form, in the form of this universe. So this universe is called the material form of the Lord. So he asked about the material and spiritual forms. So the Lord exists in the form of this universe, which is also the material form of the Lord. So this is after creation. Paschadaham yadetaccha. And yovashishyeta sosmyaham. After destruction also, he only remains. In what form? In the form of the Lord of Vaikuntha and Mahavishnu. So that's what is this verse talks about the material and spiritual forms. And then finally, it is Brahma should have a realization of the spirit of first the spiritual form. This will occur when Brahma can relish the sweetness of the Lord's form and qualities by prema produced by hearing and chanting. This will be explained in the fourth verse. So how he can realize these forms? Now he has given the knowledge. Now the means to realize this knowledge will be given in the fourth Chatushloki. The knowledge of the form is given. The means to realize this form will be given in the fourth Chatushloki.
After annihilation, only Karma Daksha will be there, na? Brahma, Garbha Daksha, Vishnu and Ashura Daksha will, Vishnu will unmanifest.
Yeah, they are not manifest. Yeah. Okay, so that's the explanation of the first Chatushloki. Okay, so now you will explain what you have heard. Okay, who wants to explain? We have to be little more efficient in passing the mics. So, just raise your hands and just share about the first line. Aham eva sameva agre. Whatever you recollect, you just share from what we have. Yes, Mukta Kesh Prabhu.
Before creation, Lord says, I agree. I exist. Then my dham also was existing. Nitya, his devotees are also existing.
Okay. What else did we... I only existed, we saw many proofs. Vasudeva va idamagra asid na brahma na cha shankara and so on. So many proofs were there for only the Supreme Lord existed. And then, of course, as he mentioned that his dham is also eternal, his nityasiddha devotees are also eternal. What else did we see? Yes. Can you pass the mic?
We were saying that if Lord existed, so where did he exist?
That's over. Dham. Okay.
And
his nityasiddha devotees also existed. He must have existed with someone.
Yes.
What else?
We discussed about the asam.
The word asam we discussed. Asam. What did we discuss?
Means like it doesn't indicate no activity, but no activity.
Even though the word itself suggests no activity, that no activity is with respect to
his material world.
His material world. Creation, maintenance and destruction.
But his activities in spiritual world.
The spiritual world are, he is very much active. What else did we see?
The Nitya Buddha are also eternal, but they are not mentioned because they are unmanifest in the body of Mahavishnu.
Okay, that's our discussion. It's not okay. What else? Yes, Shailesh Prabhu.
Some scriptures say that Brahma registered before and later.
Okay, so we'll come to the second line. First line, anything is left? Okay, I think more or less we have covered. Okay, go ahead.
So Krishna says, I am not different from that Brahman. So although it is understatement, but
nevertheless, this is sufficient. Okay, I am not different from that Brahman. Like that. So, some scriptures speak about the absolute truth in terms of Brahman because the readers of those particular scriptures are not qualified to understand the personal form of the Lord. Okay, that's about the second line. Third line you are going? Second line, okay, yes. Something more to add, Advaita Prabhu.
We also saw that some examples from Bhagavad Gita where Lord makes understatements.
Correct.
And he identifies with many of the expansions.
Okay. Anything else? What else? Third line? For personal and impersonal aspects, we accept both. Okay. So third line, Ashitosh Prabhu, can you pass? Third line.
So, Prabhu, you were saying that even after creation, he exists in like in the form of this Garbhadaksha Vishnu,
Shirodaksha Vishnu, Karanodaksha Vishnu,
material form of the universe.
The avatar as
the Bhagwan also,
and the Lord in the spiritual world also. In all these forms, he exists after creation. And Yavashishyata Swasmiham. And after dissolution also, he exists in the form of Karanodaksha Vishnu and the Lord of the spiritual world. Like that. So, through this verse, he describes the material and spiritual forms of the Lord. Okay. So, shall we move on to the next Chatushloki? Material universe, Virat form. Okay. Is there anything else, or shall we move on to the next Chatushloki, second Chatushloki? Okay. Okay. Next Chatushloki is about what? The role of Yoga Maya and Mahamaya. So that's what we are going to see now in this next Chatushloki. Pratyartam yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani tad vidyadatmano mayam yata baso yata tamaha. So, through the first translation, we will try to understand the role of Mahamaya. And through the second translation, we will try to understand the role of Yogamaya. So, we will take one translation at a time. One translation, explanation, then we will come back to the second translation and we will go to the explanation. Okay. This is the longest Chatushloki. So, what I suggest is, let's take a break now. And after this, we will go on till the end, no break. So just 2-3 minutes short break. If you want, you can just stretch out and then we will start. Chatushloki now.
Our Muktakesh Prabhu is always very excited. What's your current excitement about? Where are the devotees, sir? They'll come. The spiritual world, everything is exciting. Okay. Vrityartam yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani tadvidyadatmano mayam yata bhaso yata tamah. Vidyad Atmano Mayam. One should understand. So we will see three meanings to this. Two meanings as explained by Srila Vishwanatha Rai Thakur and one meaning as explained by Srila Prabhupada in the footsteps of Srila Jiva Goswami. Okay. So Prabhupada's explanation of this verse is in line with Jiva Goswami's explanation, and Vishwanatha Rai Thakur gives two alternate explanations to this. So he says, Tad Vidyad Atmano Mayam. One should understand my Maya. Here Atmano Mayam refers to Mahamaya. Yet, by whose power? Artham Pratiyeta. Artham means real objects. Real objects are perceived through the Vidya potency. And na artham pratiyeta. Sometimes false objects are perceived through the avidya potency. Prati atmani, in relation to the self. Yata abhaso yata tamaha. Just as light reveals objects and darkness hides them. This is the basic translation of this verse. So, Mahamaya potency has three functions I mentioned the other day. What are the three? Mahamaya has three potencies. What are the three? vidya, avidya and pradhan. You remember? Vidya, avidya and pradhan. So the pradhan creates all that is needed for the living entity to wrongly identify with. Gross body, subtle body, everything is created by pradhan. And the avidya potency makes the living entity identify with that material body. And the vidya potency helps him identify with his own constitution. You are not this body, you are the spirit soul. So these are the three components of Mahamaya. Vidya, avidya and pradhan. So here we are going to speak mainly about the vidya and avidya potency. So he says that one should understand my Maya, which means one should understand my Mahamaya through symptoms. What are the symptoms? Sometimes one perceives real objects and sometimes one perceives unreal objects. The perception of real objects is through the vidya potency and the perception of the unreal objects is through the avidya potency. So by this one can understand the effect of, one can understand my Maya. This is a very cryptic statement that he says, and let's try to understand the meaning of this. So how Mahamaya is giving us this vidya, that's the question. Okay, so rather we should understand that till now our understanding of Mahamaya was not complete. So now we are getting the complete understanding of what Mahamaya is, because the second Chatushloki speaks what is the full scope of Mahamaya. So we had a very skewed understanding of Mahamaya, that the purpose of Mahamaya is to punish us and make us suffer. But that's not the purpose of Mahamaya. The purpose of Mahamaya is depending on our inclinations, either if we are inclined to enjoy separately from Krishna, then make us forget who we really are, because if we really understand who we are, then we will not be able to enjoy properly. But when we are becoming more and more inclined to understand who we really are and get out of this material world, then Mahamaya facilitates that also through the vidya potency. So this is the full scope of understanding of Mahamaya. So therefore, the natural question that everyone has, how can vidya be part of Mahamaya, is because we have a not so complete understanding of the role of Mahamaya. Mike.
We generally hear that as long as we are in avidya, we are under Mahamaya. But as soon as we, whatever the positive part of vidya, that is because of influence of yogamaya or spiritual currency.
No, not really. To some extent, like till realizing that we are not this body and we are spirit souls, that is, till that is the realm of Mahamaya only. Realizing the Supreme Lord is within the realm of Yogamaya. But realization of the self is still within the realm of Yoga, Mahamaya only. Okay. So let's try to understand the avidya potency of Mahamaya. So the avidya potency of Mahamaya has two components: vikshepatmika shakti and avaranatmika shakti. Vikshepatmika shakti means that which confuses us, bewilders, and avaranatmika means that which covers. The avaranatmika covers the real thing, whereas the vikshepatmika makes us identify with the wrong thing. Okay. So the purpose of Vikshepatmika is na artham pratiyeta. Na artham means non-real. Pratiyeta means perception. Na artham pratiyeta means perception of non-real things. Like for example, when it is dark. Nowadays there are better lights when you walk from here to temple. Otherwise, during monsoon time, we initially had solar lights. Okay, and during monsoon, because throughout the day for days together we would have very feeble sunlight. So whatever charging that through that solar battery used to have, it used to run out at around 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock like that. So at night you will have light, but while going for Mangalarti, everything would be discharged. So there would be no light, and practically everything was solar light only. And because here for days together you don't have proper sunlight, many times, you know, for Mangalarti when people go, you know, there is no light. The solar light is off. So, you know, and during rainy season, and now we have like proper paver block roads, but previously, you know, there used to be a lot of potholes and things like that, and no light. So, and people, especially for people without torch lights, and running for Mangalarti, they would sometimes not see the potholes and, you know, just fall down. And after falling down, because they still don't have a light, and they realize 4:30 anyway, shankh to baj gaya, abhi to absent hi lagne wala hai. So, and because they fell down and had a bad experience, they will be seeing potholes at every step because they don't have a light. Maybe that, you know, from there till temple hall there is not a single pothole. But because they don't have a light, they'll be seeing potholes everywhere. So perception of non-existent things, that is the role of Vikshepatmika Shakti. So with respect to the self, what is non-real? The body is non-real. So Vikshepatmika Shakti makes us identify with the body as the self. So that is the purpose of Vikshepatmika Shakti. Na artham pratiyeta. The body is unreal or is not the self, but due to Vikshepatmika Shakti, the living entity identifies with the body. That is the meaning. Na artham pratiyeta. And what is the role of avaranatmika shakti? Avarana means to cover. Artham na pratiyeta. Real object cannot be seen. So the real pothole was not seen. So when it is dark, something that is existing cannot be seen. Something that is non-existing will be perceived. Right? So many times, you know, like when Balabhadra Bhattacharya and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were in Vrindavan, the whole Vrindavan was there. Oh, Krishna is there dancing on Kaliya, but Krishna is dancing on Kaliya, and our Balabhadra Bhattacharya also ran to see Krishna dancing on Kaliya. What was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's response? He slapped him and he said, you know, Krishna was right there with him. And next morning they realized that it was some fisherman with some light. He was trying to do some fishing at night. And they thought that Krishna was dancing on Kaliya. So, na artham pratiyeta. Artham na pratiyeta and na artham pratiyeta. So, the avaranatmika shakti does not let you identify with the soul. Why? Because if you identify with the true nature of the soul, then you will also realize that all these desires that you have to enjoy separately from Krishna cannot be fulfilled. So therefore,
it makes you not identify with the soul. So that is the purpose of avaranatmika shakti. So the role of vikshepatmika shakti is na artham pratiyeta, to make you identify with something which is not real. And the role of avaranatmika shakti is artham na pratiyeta, to help you not identify with the soul. Both are for the purpose of facilitating our rebellious enjoyment. Both are for that purpose only. If that is not done, then it will be a problem. Then we will, as we saw, that we will have a much more difficult life. If you know, our pain is sort of reduced and minimal only because of this anesthetic nature of the avaranatmika shakti and the vikshepatmika shakti. If these two shaktis were not there, then we would be in intense pain. It's like performing an open heart surgery without anesthesia. So all the desires are there within the heart, but there is no you know, point blank you are shown that you have absolutely no way of fulfilling even one of these desires. Suffer now. So it's like that. So the Supreme Lord, through the agencies of avaranatmika and vikshepatmika shaktis, you know, very nicely anesthetize the jivatmas so that they at least get a feeling that I am good, I am enjoying, like that. So is it clear? That's the role of avidya potency of Mahamaya. Na artham pratiyeta and artham na pratiyeta. So now can you guess what would be the role of the vidya potency of Yogamaya? Can you guess? Yeah. Perception of real things and non-perception of non-real things. So now you have gone for Mangalarti, and after Bhagavatam class when you are coming back, potholes na pratiyeta. If pothole is not there, not pratiyeta. If potholes are there, pratiyeta. Artham pratiyeta, na artham na pratiyeta. That is the nature of light. Yata abhaso yata tamah. Abhasa is light. When light is there, then real things are perceived and non-real things are not perceived. So what is non-real with respect to the soul? The body. So body is not perceived as the self. And what is real with respect to the self? The soul is real. So soul is perceived. So na artham na pratiyeta, non-apprehension of non-real objects, which means it makes the person to not identify with the body, mind, intelligence, senses, etc., and with the related maladies. And artham pratiyeta means apprehension of real objects. It means it allows the person to perceive bliss and knowledge of the soul. That is the role of vidya potency of Mahamaya. Is it clear? For anyone, it's not clear. So basically, that is the meaning of this first translation. Tadvidyat Atmano Mayam, one should understand my Mahamaya, by whose power? Artham Pratiyeta. Whose role is Artham Pratiyeta? Vidya Potency. And Na Artham Pratiyeta is whose role? Which part of Avidya Potency? Vikshepatmika. To make you identify with non-real things is Vikshepatmika. And what is the role of Avaranatmika? Artham na pratiyeta. The real object is covered, which means you are not able to see the real soul. You are not identified with the soul. That is the Avaranatmika Shakti. Rite Atmani, in relation to the self. Yata abhaso yata tamaha. Just as light reveals objects and darkness hides them. This is the explanation of the first Mahamaya potency. Can you pass the mic to Harshad Prabhu?
It is said that as one progresses in devotional service, so Maya also like becomes 24 hours active for a devotee. So what is the exact role in Vidya and Avidya? Do both the things increase? Like Vidya increases, we can understand it is helping perceiving the soul. But Avidya, what happens to it?
Okay. So Avidya also is slowly wiped out by the potency of performing devotional service. By one's performance of devotional service, Avidya is also slowly getting wiped out.
So then what is the meaning of Maya is working non-stop for devotees?
See, that it should be understood only in the sense that she is working non-stop means that we start perceiving, you can say, that which we never used to perceive as an anartha, the more we are progressing, we start perceiving smaller and smaller things as anarthas. Maya shows it to you. You see, you have this anartha, you have this anartha, you have this anartha, like that. In that sense, it magnifies smaller and smaller things that we can remove even that last trace of all of that left, so that we can go back perfectly in perfect form to the spiritual world. In that sense, so we have to see Maya Devi as an assistant only, as an assistant to our progress. So she is like a gym instructor, you know. Her adding more and more weights gradually is only to make our muscles more stronger and stronger, so that we can become fully fit. So that is the role of Maya. So that we don't enter into the spiritual world without being completely qualified. What will happen if someone enters into IIT by some cheating? Okay? So, padha nahi, exam likha nahi, to marks somehow by cheating. He will only be able to enter IIT. He will never be able to exit IIT. Okay? Year after year after year after year. So that's the problem with the spiritual world also. His presence in IIT will not be a very pleasant one. It will be a very unpleasant experience there. He will be ridiculed and chastised every single day by all his teachers and co-students. He will have a very terrible time there at IIT, even though he is at the best place. Same is true with going to the spiritual world without qualification also. So the role of Maya Devi is to ensure that we are fully equipped. So therefore people go to Kota and all these places to prepare. Why? There they don't let you sleep for long, they don't let you have any fun. They are really tough taskmasters, so that eventually you become qualified to enter into a good institution. That's the role of Maya. That's the meaning of she works overtime. She works overtime for our benefit. For our benefit is the most important thing to understand. So she is not cunningly plotting against us to make us fall down. Not in that sense. She is there to assist us. But the nature of our assistance is not like the assistance of a father and mother. Father and mother, if a child stays with father and mother instead of at the Kota coaching center, he would never enter IIT. Because that's the nature of father and mother's love. But the nature of the coaching instructor's love is a different kind of love. So that's the nature of Maya Devi's love. She is a tough instructor so that you get ready and perfectly fit to enter the spiritual world. Okay. You can collect the PPTs from me. You can take. Okay, so that's about Mahamaya. Okay, so now let's understand the second translation. Tad vidyad atmano mayam. Atmano mayam means my maya. So in the first case it refers to Mahamaya. The second case it refers to Yoga Maya. Yet by whose power artham pratiyeta, some objects are revealed and na pratiyeta, sometimes they are hidden also. From whom? Rite Atmani. Rite Atmani here refers to from the person who has realized the Lord. So the jurisdiction of Yoga Maya is those people who have realized the Supreme Personality of Godhead, pure devotees. Yata baso yata tamaha. Just as light sometimes reveals objects and sometimes darkness hides them. Okay. So now let's try to understand. Some examples are given to help us understand this. Okay. Are you ready? First, let's see the first example of Mother Yashoda's perception and subsequent non-perception of material universe in Krishna's mouth. You all have read Krishna book, heard about this pastime before. Mridabhakshan Leela. Krishna eats, mud. So, one day, the friends of Krishna, they all come running and report to Mother Yashoda that while we were playing, Krishna ate mud. Then Krishna says, no, I didn't. These people are lying. Then she asks Balramji also. Balramji said, yes, very much. In front of me, he ate mud. If you want, you open his mouth and see. So Mother Yashoda says, Balramji cannot be lying. So he must be telling the truth. So you open your mouth. To cut the long story short, he opens his mouth and she starts seeing the whole universe. So the universe is seeing, and inside that universe in Vrindavan, she also sees Mother Yashoda looking into the mouth of Krishna. It's not that she was seeing a miniature form of the whole universe inside the mouth. She has seen the whole universe in actual size. And it's not that Krishna's mouth became really huge. Krishna's mouth was the same size. Inside that, she has not seen a miniature form of the universe, but she was seeing the whole universe in its full size. Achintya, we cannot realize. Basically, the point is, universe pratiyeta. Then she got little bit scared. Then the Leela Shakti said, okay, switch off. Then universe na pratiyeta. The Yoga Maya revealed the material universe within Krishna's stomach while simultaneously revealing the spiritual forms of Gokul, Yashoda and Krishna. Bewildered by Yoga Maya, Yashoda perceived that directly, and after a moment, na pratiyeta. Seeing her bewilderment, it was removed. Because Yoga Maya covered that realization. What was the purpose of Yoga Maya? To show that Yashoda's love could not be restricted by a show of Krishna's power. After that was removed, Mother Yashoda thought, oh, something must be wrong with my child. Maybe someone has done some magic or something. So let me try to protect him like that. So the difference between Yoga Maya and Mahamaya is that the Yoga Maya's purpose is to assist in Krishna's pastimes, to fulfill the desires of Krishna in performing a particular pastime. That is the purpose of Yoga Maya. She realizes Krishna's desire and tries to fulfill that desire by sometimes hiding something, sometimes showing something. Artham pratiyeta na pratiyeta. Pratiyeta na pratiyeta. What is the purpose? To fulfill the desires of Krishna, to assist in Krishna's pastimes. Okay. And but the purpose of Mahamaya is to just facilitate with the desire of the living entity. The living entity wants to enjoy separately from Krishna. Avidya patansi acts. What does she do? Artham na pratiyeta, na artham pratiyeta. Avaranatmika shakti and vikshepatmika shakti. If the living entity is fed up, if he wants to attain liberation, so what does, then the avidya patansi stops, the vidya patansi takes over. Artham pratiyeta, na artham, na pratiyeta. Self-realization. When the living entity wants to approach the Supreme Lord, tries to understand the Supreme Lord, then Yogamaya takes over. Then again the pratiyata na pratiyata starts. But at a different level and for a different purpose. Is it clear? So this is the first example. Second example. Arjuna was shown the universal form. So initially when Bhagavad Gita was being spoken, Krishna speaks about his vibhuti. Vibhuti is in the 10th chapter. And Arjuna says, oh, can you show me that form of vibhutis? So Krishna says, sure, why not? But with this present eyes you cannot see, so I'll give you Divya Chakshu. So he takes that Divya Chakshu to see that form, but he does not get a Divya mind to process that form. So, as soon as he sees that universal form, immediately he gets scared. And he says, my dear Lord, you know, I am not able to process this form, so please take that away. So he was telling, first he said, show me the universal form. So universal form pratiyeta for him, but for all others, 200 form only pratiyeta, saumirup pratiyeta. Then he said, my dear Lord, no, I don't want to see this form. Please remove this form and show me the saumirup. Saumirup was standing there, everyone was seeing the saumirup only. So he said, remove this form, I can't process this form at all. Then after some time, Krishna removed the universal form. Universal form na pratiyeta, saumirup pratiyeta. Like that. Of course, in between he shows the 400 form also. So, universal form pratiyeta, universal form na pratiyeta. Then, initially 200 form na pratiyeta, then after that 200 form pratiyeta. So, this pratiyeta na pratiyeta was orchestrated by the Yogamaya potency. For what purpose? To show that outside Vrindavan, all the other devotees, their love for Krishna is restricted by a show of Aishwarya. As Prabhupada said, godless display of opulence. That's how he calls the universal form. It's a godless display of opulence. So therefore, devotees are not very much attracted to it. But after Mother Yashoda saw that universal form, she wanted to, cater to Krishna. She wanted to take care of him. That show of display of Aishwarya did not affect her at all. Because she is Vrajavasi. But Arjuna is not. He is not a Vrajavasi. So therefore universal form was shown, then Arjuna said, Saketi matva prasabam yaduktam, he Krishna he yadava he saketi, ajanata mahimanam tavedam, maya pramadat pranaye navati, yachavaha sartamasat kritosi, viharashayasana bojaneshu, ekotavapya chutatat samaksham, tachamayetva mahamaprameyam. So he said, I beg pardon from you, Krishna, not knowing this greatness of yours, and through want of consideration or through affection, pramadat pranayana, sometimes because of lack of proper understanding, consideration, sometimes due to out of love, I addressed you as Hey Sakha, and sometimes I rudely called you Keshava, Yadava, Hey Sakha, like that. Hey Krishna, Hey Yadava, Hey Saketi. And explaining these terminologies,
there was lot of sarcasm involved there, crude sarcasm, of course a friendly one though, because Varana wise he was addressing that you are not a pure Kshatriya, like that, all those things. Hey Yadava, you are just a Yadava, I am a Kshatriya, like that. So like that he was addressing. So now he is telling that, but I beg pardon, I didn't really know your greatness. So that Sakya Bhav of Arjuna was shaken for some time when the Aishwarya was shown. So the purpose of this whole Leela was to show that except for the Vrajavasis, any other, however pure devotee he may be, a show of Aishwarya, affects their prema. Whereas within Vraja, whatever happens, Trinavarta dies. And there is a whole discussion between the Vrajavasis. They come, how did Trinavarta die? So someone says, you know what, this Krishna is such a sadhu. Trinavarta wanted to kill Krishna, but still he was taking shelter of the Trinavarta only by holding his neck. They couldn't see that Krishna was holding the neck of Trinavarta and choking him to death. They saw Krishna is such a sadhu, he can't see the difference between enemies and friends. So therefore he was trying to catch hold of Trinavarta, taking shelter of him. He could not see him as an enemy. And piety is rightly rewarded. Therefore, so then the question is, then how did Trinavarta die? Their explanation is, oh, he is such an impious person and the will of providence punishes impious persons in such ghastly ways. So he died. Then how did Krishna get saved? Look, that's what I told you. He is a sadhu. This is how providence rewards sadhus. It protects them. So that's why Krishna was protected. Then someone else came. He said, no, that's not the reason. You see Nanda Maharaj, how dharmic he is, how kind he is. The will of providence did not want Nanda Maharaj to suffer separation from his son. Therefore, in order to protect Nanda Maharaj, Krishna was saved. These are the various ways in which they are evaluating this whole Trinavarta pastime. Not a single person is thinking that Krishna was super potent, that he actually killed Trinavarta. Same is true with Putana. It's not that Krishna never showed his Aishwarya in Vrindavan. He showed his Aishwarya, but it did not affect their sweet relationship with Krishna. It's not that Vrajavasis are not aware of the greatness of Krishna. Vrajavasis are those whose affection for Krishna is not affected by a show of Aishwarya. So it's not that they are not at all aware. When they see that Aishwarya, they process it in a completely different way, in such a way that it does not affect their affection. So their central processing unit is totally different from others. So whatever action, the same action if someone else sees outside Vrindavan, they would process it in a completely different way. But the Vrajavasis have a different processing unit. They will process it in such a way that it, even they will use that Aishwarya to enhance their Madhurya. And Krishna also takes a similar mood in Vrindavan. It is described during Damodar Leela. Why was Krishna initially not allowing Mother Yashoda to bind his waist? The explanation that the acharyas give is that Krishna was thinking not to show his Aishwarya. Krishna was thinking, if Mother Yashoda binds me, then I will not be able to go with my friends and steal butter. So therefore, he did not allow Mother Yashoda to bind his waist. So his show of Aishwarya and Vrindavan was also controlled by a desire that springs out of Madhurya. He wants to go and steal butter. So there, that Aishwarya also becomes subservient to his Madhurya. So there within Vrindavan, a show of Aishwarya also enhances the Madhurya. And Aishwarya always takes a subordinate role. Whereas outside Vrindavan, Aishwarya takes a little more prominent role. Like that. The next example that is given is Brahma Vimohan Lila. So what happened? You all know the story. We will not go over the story. Brahmaji wanted to really check out that is this really the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's standing there with curd rice in one hand and searching for his calves. Of course, even before that, Brahmaji sees that someone is having buttermilk in his mouth filled. And Krishna goes, punches the, or whatever. Punches his cheeks and the buttermilk comes out and Krishna catches it with his mouth. This is like completely belittles Brahmaji. And he really wants to check out, is this really Supreme Personality of Godhead? Why is he behaving like this? Of course, all of this is within Yogamaya only. The purpose of that Yogamaya was to destroy Brahma's thinking that he was the controller. Of course, this was transcendental pride. This happens in Ras Leela also. When all the gopis think that Krishna is only with me. Transcendental pride. That pride is not born out of mode of passion. Okay. But just to destroy that kind of transcendental pride, Krishna hid himself and then later showed himself. Pratiyeta na pratiyeta. Similarly, in this case also, to destroy the transcendental pride of Brahmaji, Yogamaya first facilitated by calves and cowherd boys pratiyeta, so that he could steal them. After he stole them also, then again after some time, calves and cowherd boys pratiyeta. Brahmaji got bewildered. What's happening? Then after some time, cows and cowherd boys na pratiyeta. 400 forms pratiyeta. Then after some time, 400 forms na pratiyeta. Then Krishna's form pratiyeta. So Brahmaji was totally bewildered. This pratiyeta na pratiyeta, pratiyeta na pratiyeta was to destroy Brahma's thinking that he was the controller. But this was also a role of Yogamaya. So, that's what is described here by Srila Vishnu Jagat Thakur, that the role of Yogamaya is, sometimes it shows and sometimes it hides things to enhance the pastime of Krishna. So, Yogamaya doesn't create emotions in the heart of the devotees. Yogamaya brings out what is already there within the heart of the devotees. Inside. So therefore, if you see from Leela point of view, what was shown to Mother Yashoda and what was shown to Arjuna were the same. Universal form pratiyeta, universal form na pratiyeta. Saumya rup na pratiyeta, then Saumya rup pratiyeta. This is what happened to Mother Yashoda. And the same thing happened to Arjuna also on the battlefield. But the effect was different. Mother Yashoda thought, my child needs my protection more. I should protect him more with some Narayan Kavach and other such things. Like that she was thinking. And Arjuna was thinking, my lord, I thought I was your friend. I really insulted you. I didn't know your greatness. So please forgive me. Like that. So what was already there, Yogamaya just facilitates to bring that emotion out. That's all. So she wanted to bring out the pure, unadulterated affection that Mother Yashoda had, Shuddha Vatsalya, and she wanted to bring out that Aishwarya Mishrit Sakya that was there within the heart of Arjuna. So when that Aishwarya was shown, then that Mishran was became apparent. Till that time it was not so apparent. But when that Aishwarya was shown, what was there inside already became apparent. Like for example, this we see in our
own lives also. Like especially when we, for you not so much because you still have your hairs and everything. And that sometimes, especially after we change clothes, you know, saffron, you go back and sometimes you meet your friends. This time when I went home, I met some of my school friends after almost like 20 years. So, and you could see these two different reactions. Of course, they are not devotees, but I just wanted to touch base with them because I totally lost contact. And these were like very, very close, deep friendships we had while we were in school. So I just tried to get back in touch with them. So one friend came and he saw me and he was like totally Sakya. Hey Krishna, Sakyati mode. He was like, what should I address you? You know, should I address you? You know, aap bol ke aapko pukar raha hu, tum bol ke pukar. You know, like that, you know. It was quite dramatic. And another person who came, he was like, he didn't see the external at all. For me, for him, none of this existed. He started speaking with the choicest gali. That's how he started. And when he spoke, I realized how much I had moved on. You know, it was unbearable for me to, you know, I had to really request him. You know, can't you see I have changed and moved on in life? I am not able to understand and relate to this language. And I said, what do you mean? You know, he could not see it at all. You know, for him, I was still the very same person 20 years back. So, like that. So you can see this. And with relatives also. I remember when, first time when I went with Saffron to my uncle's place. First thing, he has some little eyesight problem. He had gone to temple when he was coming to his house. I was sitting there in Saffron. He thought some Sri Vaishnava sannyasi has come or something like that. So in, because in Sri Vaishnava, only sannyasis wear saffron. So he was like, immediately he removed his gum, you know, his uttariya, and he, you know, tied it in his waist, and then he was like, you know, like that. He came, and then when he came close, because he had eyesight problem, he saw that, he seemed something, someone more familiar. But even after that, till now, this happened few years back, but till now he still calls me, you know, up, like that. Even though I used to be terrified seeing him in my young age, you know, I never used to like to go to school. So he used to come and search for me, you know, beat me up and take me to school, like that. Of course, very good affectionate relationship. But other relatives are there who are for whom I am still that very old, same old. Now, even now when I go there, they'll say, oh, I will go and get some ice cream for you. And, you know, for them, I am the very same person. So, even in material relationships, you see, sometimes, you know, your opulence affects them. And sometimes, your opulence does not affect them at all. So, the same way, in spiritual relationships also, there are certain spiritual relationships in which the opulence changes their relationship, at least for a while. And there are certain relationships in which a show of opulence does not affect it at all. Like that. So these people who are not affected by the opulence, when they hear sometimes my lectures or something, so they see it as their appreciation is on the same level as they would appreciate when I would come back from school and say some rhymes. Or get some certificate, you know, I have won the first prize in, you know, extempore speech or something like that. You know, the kind of appreciation they have. They have that kind of appreciation only. It's not like they are, itna bada bada baat bol raha, matlab, he has grown up, you know, he has become so spiritually advancing, you know, that kind of vision is not there. their appreciation is on the same level of, you know, array, first prize, he has got first prize in extempore speech, like that, that's like that. So, anyway, so, basically, the point is, Yogamaya just does not create these emotions in them. These emotions are not created by Yogamaya. These emotions are brought out by Yogamaya's orchestration. Yogamaya orchestrates appropriate pastimes to bring out what is already there within the hearts of these devotees. So there was always this Sakya Bhava which was mixed with Aishwarya in Arjuna. But till this universal form showing was orchestrated by Krishna through the agency of Yogamaya, that Mishran did not become evident. And till Krishna showed some of these pastimes, like, you know, showing the universal form within the mouth of Mother Yashoda, killing of various demons. So all these were exhibition of Aishwarya, but the real mode of Vrajavasis would not come out till such Aishwarya was shown. When that Aishwarya was shown, still they would resolve that event in such a way that their sweetness, their sweet relationship with Krishna is not at all compromised. So the purpose of Yogamaya is to bring out what is already there within the hearts of these wonderful devotees. All are pure devotees, but some have a sweet relationship that is affected by Aishwarya, and some have a relationship that is not at all affected by Aishwarya, like that. So that is the role of Yogamaya and Mahamaya. Okay, as explained by Srila Vishwanatha Thakur. Okay, so is there any comments, questions before we move on to Prabhupada's explanation of this verse? Okay, so Prabhupada, following in the footsteps of Jiva Goswami, he gives the explanation in line with Jiva Goswami's explanation. So Prabhupada's translation is, O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Whatever appears to be of any value, artham pratiyeta, you see that there is some value, rite atmani, but you don't see the presence of Krishna, you don't see the connection with Krishna, tad vidyad atmano mayam, understand that that is due to the influence of maya potency, through especially the avidya potency of maya potency. Yata baso yata tamaha, that is explained by that reflection which appears to be in darkness. This is Prabhupada's explanation, because the previous verse was, only I existed before creation, only I exist after creation, and only I exist after dissolution. So this second Chatushloki is a continuation of that. Therefore, anything that you see in this material world to not have any connection with Krishna, that is only due to the influence of Mahamaya. That's how Jiva Goswami explains. And Prabhupada also resorts to the same explanation of Jiva Goswami. Anything that you see as having some value, but you don't see the connection with Krishna, that is due to the influence of Maya. So how do you understand the role of Mahamaya? Whenever you spot yourself as, whenever you catch yourself as seeing something as having some inherent value, but you can't see its relationship with Krishna, then you understand that it is due to the role of Mahamaya. That's how Prabhupada explains this. And his purport also is in line with that explanation only. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, we will read some sections of the purport. In the previous verse, it has already been concluded that in any stage of cosmic manifestation, its appearance, its sustenance, its growth, its interactions of different energies, its deterioration and its disappearance, all has its basic relationship with the existence of the personality of Godhead. Agre paschad avashishyata. at all three stages, it's only the Supreme Lord that is there along with his energies. And as such, whenever there is forgetfulness of this prime relationship with the Lord, and whenever things are accepted as real without being related to the Lord, that conception is called a product of the illusory energy of the Lord. Is it clear? Because nothing can exist without the Lord, it should be known that the illusory energy is also an energy of the Lord. The right conclusion of dovetailing everything in relationship with the Lord is called Yoga Maya, or the energy of union, and the wrong conception of detaching a thing from its relationship with the Lord is called the Lord's Daivi Maya or Mahamaya. You see, seeing everything in relationship with the Supreme Lord is Yoga Maya. But even Vidya Potency, you see, you don't see yourself as the servant of Krishna. Vidya Potency helps you understand that you are not this body. You are the spirit soul, that's all. That's not the complete understanding. That is still detached from Krishna. Through Avidya Potency, you see body to have some inherent value without relationship with Krishna. And through Vidya Potency, you see the soul to have some inherent value, but still without relationship with Krishna. But through bhakti, which is under the realm of Yoga Maya, you start seeing either the body or the soul in its relationship with Krishna. That's how Prabhupada is explaining that the right conclusion of dovetailing everything in relationship with the Lord is called Yoga Maya, or the energy of union, and the wrong conception of detaching a thing from its relationship with the Lord is called the Lord's Daivi Maya or Mahamaya. Both the Mayas also have connection with the Lord. Where is it indicated in the verse? Both the Mayas have connection with the Lord. Tad vidyad atmano mayam. Krishna says, both are my Maya only. Both the Mayas also have connection with the Lord, because nothing can exist without being related to him. As such, the wrong conception of detaching relationships with the Lord is false. It's not false, but illusory. Like that. So, Prabhupada in the purport further explains that when you see a rope and think that it is a snake, it is not false, but it is illusory. It's not that you are seeing nothing and thinking it to be a snake. You are seeing a rope and you are thinking it to be a snake. So it is not unreal, but it is illusory. That is the point. And in that essence only Prabhupada's rest of the purport is described. So, rest of the purport is homework for you. But rest of the purport is an expansion of this first paragraph that Prabhupada has given the essence in this paragraph. And he expands on this in the rest of the purport. So, the rest of the purport is homework for you. Okay. So that brings us to the end of this second Chatushloki. Pratyartam yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani tad vidyat atmano mayam yata baso yata tamaha. So before we move on to the third Chatushloki, comments, questions, you can...
So just a clarification, really. So the chatmani in this verse, Prabhupada's translation refers to the Supreme Lord. And the one which Vishwan Chakri Thakur either...
Relates to self.
The devotee or the non-devotee.
In the case of Mahamaya, the self refers to the conditioned soul, and with respect to Yoga Maya, the realized soul.
Okay, okay.
And with respect to Prabhupada's translation, Atmani refers to the Lord.
Lord.
Oh, okay. Okay. Anything else before we move on to the next Chatushloki, third Chatushloki? Okay. So the third Chatushloki is the shortest Chatushloki with respect to explanation. Okay. So, the third Chatushloki is the answer to which question? How the Lord relates with Yoga Maya and Mahamaya, or the realm of Yoga Maya and Mahamaya. Okay. Yata mahanti bhutani
భూతేషుచ్చావచేష్వను ప్రవిష్టాన్యప్రవిష్టాని తథాతేషు నతేష్వహం.
సో హి సేస్ యతా మహాంతి భూతాని జస్ట్ యాజ్ ద ఎలిమెంట్స్ అనుప్రవిష్టాని ఎంటర్ భూతేషు ఉచ్చ అవచేషు. భూతేషు మీన్స్ అమంగ్స్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్, ఉచ్చ మీన్స్ ఎగ్జాల్టెడ్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్, అవచేషు మీన్స్ నాట్ సో ఎగ్జాల్టెడ్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్. ఉచ్చ డెమిగాడ్స్, అవచేషు అనిమల్స్, ట్రీస్ ఎక్సెట్రా ఆర్ హెలిష్ ప్లానెట్స్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్. ఉచ్చ అవచేషు వెన్ ద ఎలిమెంట్స్ ఎంటర్ ది ఎగ్జాల్టెడ్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్ ఆర్ ది నాట్ సో ఎగ్జాల్టెడ్ లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్ ప్రవిష్టాని అనుప్రవిష్టాని అప్రవిష్టాని దే రిమైన్ సెపరేట్ ఇన్ ది సెన్స్ దే ఆర్ నాట్ అటాచ్డ్. ఇట్స్ నాట్ దట్ ఎర్త్ వాటర్ ఫైర్ ఆర్ ఈథర్ బికమ్ వెరీ ఎక్స్టాటిక్ అండ్ దే ఆర్ జంపింగ్ ఇన్ జాయ్ వెన్ దే వాంట్ టు బి వెన్ దే ఆర్ అ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఇంద్రాస్ బాడీ అండ్ దే ఆర్ రియలీ ల్యామెంటింగ్ అండ్ క్రయింగ్ వెన్ దే ఆర్ అ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ అ హాగ్స్ బాడీ. సో దే ఆర్ అబ్సల్యూట్లీ న్యూట్రల్. వై వై? బికాస్ దే ఆర్ జడ వస్తు, బికాస్ దే ఆర్ జడ వస్తు. సో కృష్ణ సేస్ తథా అహం, ఐ ఎమ్ ఆల్సో సిమిలర్ టు దట్. తేషు న తేషు, ఐ ఎంటర్ ఇన్ టు ఆల్ బీయింగ్స్ బట్ ఐ పర్ఫార్మ్, ఐ రిమైన్ డిటాచ్డ్. సో కృష్ణ సేస్ దట్ ఇఫ్ యూ వాంట్ టు అండర్స్టాండ్ మై రిలేషన్షిప్ విత్ ద మెటీరియల్ రియల్ అండ్ ద స్పిరిచువల్ రియల్, ఎవాల్యుయేట్ ద నేచర్ ఆఫ్ ద ఎలిమెంట్స్ ఇన్ ద మెటీరియల్ రియల్ అండ్ ద స్పిరిచువల్ రియల్. ఇన్ ది మెటీరియల్ రియల్ ద ఎలిమెంట్స్ ఆర్ జడవస్తు. So they are not attached at all. So they enter and exit. They are not excited to enter. They are not very distressed to exit. Or in other words, when it comes to not so excited living entities, they are not so distressed in entering and they are not so excited in exiting. They are neutral because they are jadavastu. So when Krishna's disposition towards this material world, which is a realm that is controlled by Mahamaya, his disposition is also like the elements of this material world, absolutely detached. But when it comes to the spiritual world, his disposition is very much like the elements of the spiritual world. The elements of the spiritual world are not jadavastu, they are chidvastu. They are very much sensitive about Krishna's desires. Minutely, their sensors, heat sensors or all kinds of sensors are very super sensitive. Exact temperature that would give best experience to Krishna. The heating systems, cooling systems are, you know, extremely powerful. They are also, you know, the elements are also satya sankalpa. The moment they desire that they want to give this particular heat, this particular temperature for Krishna to experience, immediately it becomes. So the elements of the spiritual world are also extremely sensitive to Krishna's pleasure, to the devotee's pleasure. Similarly, Krishna also, when it comes to the realm of the spiritual world, which is the jurisdiction of Yogamaya, he is super sensitive to their desires. He is very personal. He is not detached. He is extremely attached. Just like the elements of the spiritual world are extremely attached to Krishna, being extremely sensitive to Krishna, Krishna's desires. Similarly, Krishna also in the spiritual world is extremely attached to everything of the spiritual world and extremely sensitive to their needs, to their desires. So that is how it is described here. Srila Vishwanatha Jagat Thakur mentions here, having described Mahamaya and Yogamaya, the Lord now describes how he performs pastimes in the material and spiritual worlds which are subjected to Mahamaya and Yogamaya. This verse answers Brahma's third question. One may ask, what is the meaning of anupravishtani, apravishtani? He enters but remains separate. The elements enter into the jivas, but since they are not conscious, there is no attachment. So just like the elements, the Lord remains detached while entering, regulating and protecting all beings. Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dveshyasti na priya. In any relationship, neutrality is not so exciting at all. There should either be some dvesha is okay, but neutrality is so boring. But the Lord's nature is like that. His pastimes are without attachment in relation to the elements and jivas of the material world. But the same Lord performs pastimes with great attachment for his pure devotees. He desires to please all their senses by either showing his form or letting them touch his body, etc. So that is the role of the Supreme Lord with respect to the spiritual world. This is Srila Vishwanatha Jagat Thakur's explanation of this third answer to the third question asked by Brahmaji. Srila Prabhupada explains, the Lord entering into each and every atom of this universe is described in Brahma Samhita. Which verse? Which verse? Andantarastha paramanu chayantarastham. The Mayavadis realize this all-pervading aspect of the Lord and declare that there is no possibility of his personal form and abode. That's what they say. They accept the all-pervading aspect of the Lord, but they cannot accept the personal form and abode of the Lord. But Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, the same Brahma Samhita, Goloka eva nivasat yakilatma bhuto. He is spread out everywhere, at the same time he is present in his Goloka Vrindavan also. But to understand this is not by one's logical faculties. One should have activated his devotional faculties. Premanjana Chirita Bhakti Vilochanena Santas Sadeva Vidayeshu Vilokayanti. This is the most confidential part of the Vedas. Sarahasyam Premanjana Chirita Bhakti Vilochanena. And the eyes which are anointed with the salve of love, that eyes can see and realize the Supreme Lord. But this can be attained only by the practice of sadhana bhakti. What is Prabhupada talking about? Tad angam. Jnanam paramaguhyam me yad vijnana samanvitam sarahasyam tad angam cha grahana gaditam maya, he says. This vision of the spiritual abode, name, form, qualities, etc., the Supreme Personality of Godhead, are televised in the heart of the devotee, though all these are far, far away from the material cosmos. But still, when that devotional disposition is there, they are televised within the heart of the living entity. This is the mystery of the knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But this bhakti at the stage of bhava and prema is rarely awarded by the Supreme Lord. Muktim dadati karhichit smana bhakti yogam. Such a devotee is satya sankalpa, as he only desires to please the Lord. Thus bhakti is a touchstone which is very, very rare. Koteshwapi mahamune, what is that verse? Muktanam api siddhanam narayana parayana sudurlabha prashantatma koteshwapi mahamune. Therefore Krishna says, sarva guhya tamam bhilaha shrunime paramam vacha, he says. So what is the guhya tama knowledge? that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita? Pure devotional service. Now, Brahmaji will repeat the same knowledge to Narada Muni. He already has repeated before. But of course, this Brahmanarad Samvad is going to happen after this Chatushloki. Even though in Bhagavatam it comes before Chatushloki, but actually, because Bhagavatam is not a chronological description. But in actuality, according to chronology, Brahmanarad Samvad happens after, because the basis of Brahmaji's teachings to Narada Muni is what he heard from Lord Narayan. So this Chatushloki. So he elaborates that Chatushloki to Narada Muni. Narada Muni further elaborates it to Vyasadeva, and Vyasadeva really elaborates it in 18,000 verses like that. So that's the third Chatushloki. How the Lord deals with this material realm and the spiritual realm. Is it clear?
So, Prithi, in relation to the pastimes related to the devotee, so that is implied in the verse.
Yeah, implied.
It's not clearly mentioned.
Yeah, it's not explicit.
Explicit.
Yeah.
And this Pravishtani or Pravishtani, Prithi, you said that the elements enter into the jiva.
In the sense, enter into the jiva means not enter into the jiva.
In the sense,
they become, the elements become a part of the grass or sati body of the jiva.
And it is apravishtani because...
Apravishtani means when the jiva moves from that body at the time of transmigration, the jiva leaves that body and goes to another body.
Okay, okay. Then Puji, you give an explanation of they are jad vastu, they are only chit. So that is the meaning of...
They are jada vastu. Apravishtani means, apravishtani also means having entered, they have not really entered.
Okay,
which means they have not established a relationship.
So there are two.
It's just like, you know, two people entering Sulabh Shauchalai. Pravishtani, apravishtani. They have not entered inside to establish a relationship. So they go, do their business and leave. That is the nature. So, sorry for the gross example. But, like that.
Because there are two meanings for...
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Anything else? Okay, so we'll move on to the fourth Chatushloki. We have 10 minutes. Let's say maybe another... We'll little bit extend it. Maybe 20 minutes we'll take for the last Chatushloki. The fourth question asked by Brahmaji, and of course, we have sort of done this before. Okay, so that's why we can rush it. The fourth question asked by Brahmaji was, how can I protect myself from the influence of passion and ignorance while I am performing my activities? He says, what to speak of passion and ignorance, even overcoming the influence of goodness is possible only if you practice this path. What is that path? Etavadeva jigyasyam tatva jigyasunatmanah anvayavyatirekabhyam yatsyat sarvatra sarvada. Of course, there are two explanations given by Shri Vishnu Chakra Thakur. We will not take the second explanation. We will just do the first explanation. Prabhupada touches upon only the first explanation. We will also see only one explanation of this verse. Second explanation, for those who are interested, you may read Sarartha Darshini, it's there. Okay. So, he says that Tatta Jigyasuna Atmanaha, that person desiring to know the best sadhana and the goal of that sadhana, Tatva Jigyasuna, inquisitive Atmana, that person, what he should do? Jigyasyam, he should surrender to a guru and learn from him. Adai Guru Padashraya, Vishrambena Gurur Seva, Krishna Dikshadi Sikshanam, Saddharma Pracha. So he has to inquire about Saddharma. What is the eternal religion of the soul? What he should do, what he should not do, and all that. Etavadeva, he should inquire about the subject matters. First thing that he says is, this, you cannot receive this without the spiritual master. Bhakti is received only through Vaishnavas and spiritual master. That's what he's first telling. Jigyasyam. Jigyasyam indicates surrender to a guru and inquiry from the guru. So what is the path that the guru gives? Anvaya vitirekabhyam. Anvaya means direct. Performing the process gives you the desired result. And vyatireka is non-performance of the process does not give you the result. Yatsyat sarvatra sarvada. And that process which can be performed at all times by everyone under all circumstances. So Brahma, Lord Narayan tells Brahmaji, find out that process by surrendering to a guru, find out that process which when performed will give you all results, which when not performed will not give you any result, and which can be performed by everyone at all times under all circumstances. Whatever process fits this description, when you perform this process, then you can be saved from the influence of what to speak of rajas and tamas. You can save yourself from the influence of all three modes while performing your duty. So now we have to understand which process fits this description. Okay. Of course, we have already, while discussing the prayers by Shukadeva Goswami, we already tried to understand the meaning of this Anvaya Vyatireka. You remember, right? So now let's quickly, you all know. And most of the verses that we are going to see, also you know. So now you have to tell me what this verse proves. Okay. Tattva swadharmam charanam bhujam hare bhajan apakvota pate tato yadi yatrakva vabhadram abhudamoshyakim kovarta apto abhajatam swadharmatah. So first he says tattva swadharmam. So this person is not performing his varnashram duties. What he is performing? Hare charanam bhujan bhajan. He is worshipping the lotus feet of the Lord. And what is the result? He gets the result of varnashram, performing varnashram, whatever it may be. He says that apakvo atapate, after performing it for some time, he may give it up also, but still there is no loss because that performance is there. So this first part of this verse indicates what? That's not complete. Absence of varnashram is still giving result. Therefore, bhakti has not come. Absence of varnashram is still giving result. Means, varnashram fails yatireka criteria. Correct? If someone has not understood, just raise your hands. Okay. So, we saw, anvaya means, performing that process, one should get the result. Vyatireka means non-performance of the process should not give result. These are the example of if sugar is not there, the halwa is not sweet. Okay. So now, what does it mean that a process passes anvaya criteria? It means when that process is performed, the desired result should be there. Then that process passes anvaya criteria. What does it mean that the process fails anvaya criteria? That process is performed, but still there is no result, which means the process fails anvaya criteria. What does it mean that a process passes vyatireka criteria? If that process is not performed, there is no result. So Suji will fail vyatireka criteria, because when Suji is not there, still that preparation will be sweet. Milk will fail vyatireka criteria, because when milk is not there, still that will be sweet. But sugar will pass vyatireka criteria, because when sugar is removed, that halwa will not be sweet. What does it mean? So that's the meaning of passing and failing vyatireka, and passing and failing anvaya. So Tyaktva Swadharmam, Swadharmam has been given up, but still the result of performing Varnashram is there, which means Varnashram fails Vyatireka criteria. But Harer Charanambujam Bhajan is present and there is result, indicates Bhakti passes Anvaya, presence of Bhakti gives result. Okay, so now I am explaining this. Rest of the verses, individual people have to take the mic and you have to tell. Okay, no mass answering. Someone says Anvaya, someone says Vyatireka, someone says passes, someone says fails, and somehow, you know, the right answer is also there. Then he says, Kovartha apto abhajatam swadharmatah. This verse says, but if there is no Harer Charanambuja Bhajan, if there is no Bhakti, but swadharmatah, performance of swadharma, he says it does not give any result. So, Bhakti passes Vyatireka, because absence of Bhakti is not giving result. And Varnashram fails Anvaya, because presence of Varnashram is not giving the result of Varnashram. Is it clear? Now, has anyone not understood? Okay, so now I will call individual devotees and you have to answer. Okay.
Shreyasritim bhakti mudasyate vibho klishyanti ye kevala bodha labdaye te shama saukle shalaye vashishyate nanyadyatastola tushavagatinam.
My dear Lord, devotional service unto you is the best path for self-realization. If someone gives up that path and engages in the cultivation of speculative knowledge, he will simply undergo a troublesome process and will not achieve his desired result. Amol Prabhu, you tell me now. Pass the mic to Amol Prabhu.
This speculative knowledge, the process is followed, but result is not achieved.
Okay,
so he fails Anvaya process.
Jnana fails Anvaya. And?
And Bhakti, which is done, that is like present, and gives the...
No, that we have not read that. If someone gives up the path and engages in cultivation of speculative knowledge, which means there is no
Bhakti.
No bhakti, no result. So?
It's positive Vyatirek.
So Bhakti passes Vyatireka criteria.
Criteria.
Okay. Is it clear? Okay, next.
Pureha Bhuman Bhavopi Yoginas Tadarpiteha Nijakarma Labdaya Vibhudya Bhaktyaiva Katopanitaya Prapedirenjo Chutate Katimparam.
O Almighty Lord, in the past many yogis in this world achieved the platform of devotional service by offering all their endeavors unto you and faithfully carrying out their prescribed duties. So here you see, yogis, so they practice Ashtanga Yoga, they perform devotional service is also mentioned, and they perform their prescribed duties is also mentioned. So there is Varnashram there is yoga there, and there is devotional service. All three are there. But the next line says, through such devotional service, perfected by the process of hearing and chanting about you, they came to understand you. So what is the prayojan? Understanding Krishna. What are the various sadhanas mentioned here? Yoga, Ashtanga Yoga, prescribed duties and Bhakti. But what is mentioned in this verse? By Bhakti only they understood. So, what does this verse say? Yes, Shailesh Prabhu.
Bhakti passes Anvaya criteria and
Bhakti process Anvaya criteria, only that much we can say. Because the Vyatireka condition is not presented. It's not explicitly presented. So we cannot comment on that. Even though we know that all of them, by default only bhakti passes anvaya and vyatireka criteria, and all the other by default fail anvaya and vyatireka criteria. This is the answer everyone knows, but it's not explicitly mentioned here. One thing that is clear is bhakti passes anvaya criteria, that much we can tell. Okay. Yatkarmabhir yat tapasa jnana vairagya taschayat yogena dana dharmena shreyabhir itarayrapi sarvam madbhakti yogena madbhakto labate anjasa swarga apavarga maddama katanchit yadivanjati. Whatever can be achieved by karma, tapasya, jnana, vairagya, etc., everything my devotee just by performing bhakti can attain. Okay? Tejas Prabhu. You can answer. So whatever can be achieved by karma, jnana, yoga, etc. can be attained by only practicing bhakti. Okay. You can, I forgot your name. Vijay Prabhu, Vijay Prabhu. Somehow, since I saw you in that drama as Kamsa, till that time I remembered your name. After that, I actually forgot your name because your absence of bhakti element will not give the results. So, bhakti passes vatirik criteria. No. Because there is no discussion of not giving result. Definitely, all other are giving result. And
what you say is
not there, then it's not directly mentioned here. It says what can be achieved by karma, what can be achieved by jnana, tapasya, etc., can be achieved by only practice of bhakti. So there is no discussion of not getting result without bhakti. That is not discussed here. It's discussed elsewhere. Bhakti passes anvaya criteria. What else can we say about this? Mukta Keshwaru.
Other processes fail in vyatireka criteria.
Yeah.
Because without that also
without,
you are getting.
Because without karma you are getting the result of karma. Without tapasya you are getting the result of tapasya. Without jnana vairagya you are getting the result of jnana vairagya. So which means they are not needed. So therefore they fail with the Reka criteria. Is it clear? Okay. And further proofs are also given from a book called Moksha Dharma. Yavai sadhana sampatti purushartha chatushtaye tayavina tadapnoti naro narayana ashraya. A wealth of sadhana brings about the four human goals. Without that, however, a man who surrenders to the Lord attains all of that. Which means? Which means? Bhakti fulfills anvaya criteria and others fail vyatireka criteria because even without them, one gets. Akama sarva kamava moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogyane ajeta purusham param. Akama is a devotee, sarvakama is a karmi, and mokshakama is a jnani or a yogi. He says, tivrena bhakti yogyane ajeta purusham param. By performance of tivra bhakti, one gets the result. So, same thing. Bhakti passes anvaya, all of them fails vyatireka, because even without them, one can get the result. Okay? Like that, there are so many other verses, but I think you have understood. Tatasvino dana parayasasvino manasvino mantra vidasu mangala kshemam navindanti vinaya darpanam. Quickly, who wants to say? Other processes fail? Wrong. Other processes fail anvaya criteria and bhakti passes vyatireka criteria. Because without bhakti, kshemam na vindanti. So all these other processes are there, but still result is not there. So they fail anvaya criteria. Bhakti is not there and there is no result. So therefore, bhakti passes vyatireka criteria. క్షేమం విందంతి వినాయ దర్పణం. వినాయ దర్పణం ఇండికేట్స్ అబ్సెన్స్ ఆఫ్ భక్తి. క్షేమం విందంతి ఇండికేట్స్ ల్యాక్ ఆఫ్ రిజల్ట్. ఓకే ఓకే, సో దాట్ ఈస్ అబౌట్ అన్వయ వ్యతిరేకాభ్యాం. దెర్ ఆర్ మెనీ మెనీ మోర్ ప్రూఫ్స్ దట్ ఆర్ గివెన్, బట్ వీ హావ్ టేకెన్ ఓన్లీ సమ్ ప్రూఫ్స్. బట్ ప్రభుపాద మెనీ మెనీ మోర్ ప్రూఫ్స్, సమ్ ప్రూఫ్స్ జస్ట్ ఫర్ ఎక్స్ప్లెయినింగ్ ది కాన్సెప్ట్, అండర్స్టాండింగ్ ద కాన్సెప్ట్ వీ హావ్ టేకెన్. ఓకే, సో దెన్ నెక్స్ట్ ఇస్ సర్వత్ర సర్వదా. సో సర్వత్ర సర్వదా మీన్స్ అట్ ఆల్ టైమ్స్ అండ్ ఆల్ సర్కమ్స్టాన్సెస్ భక్తి కెన్ బి పర్ఫార్మ్డ్. హీ కోట్స్ ఎ వర్స్ ఫ్రమ్ సోర్సెస్ నాట్ మెన్షన్డ్. నదేశ నియమస్తత్ర నకాల నిర్ణయస్తత న ఉచ్చిష్టాదో నిషేధో అస్తి శ్రీ హరేర్ నామ్ని లిబ్ధకే. దిస్ ఇస్ కోటెడ్ ఇన్ భక్తిరసామృత సింధు ఆల్సో, దట్ హౌ ఇన్ చాంటింగ్ ద నేమ్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ దర్ ఆర్ నో రెస్ట్రిక్షన్స్ కన్సర్నింగ్ ప్లేస్ ఆర్ టైమ్. న దేశ నియమ న కాల నిర్ణయ న ఉచ్చిష్టాదో నిషేధ. దెర్ ఆర్ నో రెస్ట్రిక్షన్స్ బేస్డ్ ఆన్ ప్యూరిటీ ఆర్ ఇంప్యూరిటీ, నో కన్సిడరేషన్స్. సో ఇండికేట్స్ దట్ ఎనీవన్ కెన్ చాంట్, ఎనీవన్ కెన్ పర్ఫార్మ్ భక్తి. కిరాత హోణాంద పులింద పుల్కష ఆదూర శుంభ యవనాకసాదయ. అండ్ దెన్ భగవద్గీత సేస్ దట్ స్థిర వైశ్యస్త శుభ్రస్తేపి అంతి పరాంగతిం. So all these indicate that, you know, there are no material disqualifications from performing bhakti. And in terms of time, place, circumstance also, you know, at any point, any stage, one can perform bhakti. Tasmat sarvatmana rajan haris sarvatra sarvada shrotavya kirtitavyascha smartavyo bhagavan danam. Here clearly the words sarvatra sarvada comes, there is no need for further explanation. Okay. Then yata yata harer nama kirtayanti cha naraka tata tata harau bhaktim udgahanto divam yayuhu. When those in hell chant the name of the Lord, they develop bhakti to the Lord and go to the spiritual world, which means bhakti can be performed in hell also. Okay, so like that yat syat sarvatra sarvada is described. So this is the explanation of the fourth chatushloki, where it is mentioned that that process which when performed gives result, which when not performed does not give result, and which can be performed by anyone at all times and all circumstances is none other than pure devotional service. All other practices they cannot be performed under you know, if someone is impure under all circumstances. There are material qualifications that are needed, but for bhakti the only qualification is faith. In all other practices, faith is one of the qualifications, but there are other material qualifications also needed. But for practice of bhakti, faith is the only qualification. That's all. Okay. So, that brings us to the end of the Chatushloki. Just one verse where he says how this the teachings of this chatushloki should be practiced, put into practice. How can you get benefited from this chatushloki? The Supreme Lord describes in the 37th verse, etanmatam samatishta paramena samadina bhavan kalpavikalpeshu na vimokhyati karhichit. Etanmatam samatishta, samatishta means samyak atishta, atishta means carry out. Samyak atishta means follow these instructions in detail. Follow these instructions in detail. Paramena samadhina, with extreme concentration. If you do this, bhavan na vimuhyati karhichit, we will never be bewildered at any time. Kalpa vikalpeshu, during a lifetime or in a particular day, at any time, you will not be bewildered. So which means, this is not something mystical that the Supreme Lord is telling. This is true with any instruction. So, bolta hai ki, प्रभु जी ये एग्जाम के लिए ना ये एक बुक पढ़ लो आप यू कैन गेट 100 out of 100 10 पीपल रिसीव द सेम इंस्ट्रक्शन समवन गेट्स 100 out of 100 समवन गेट्स 25 समवन गेट्स 30 समवन गेट्स 40 व्हाट इज द डिफरेंस बिकॉज द वन हू गॉट 100% followed the instruction in all its details and with extreme concentration, whereas the other people just followed it without full concentration and not in all details. Maybe they read the initial part and then the other things in between, and at the towards the end they just breeze through it like that. So any instruction, for it to get full benefit, one has to follow it in all details and with extreme concentration. So then it will give the result. So the Supreme Lord is not giving some very mystical instruction here. It's very, you can say, common sense instruction. Follow it in all details and with extreme concentration, then you will get the desired result. That's what the Supreme Lord is mentioning here in this 37th verse. So what is the mode of following these instructions is mentioned here. Here Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, this is the conclusion of the Chatushloki. How to understand the deep meaning of these four verses is mentioned here. Don't get deviated by the false interpretations. Just accept my instructions completely. This is main, very important thing. Just accept it completely. Don't think that you need to search elsewhere. Whatever you need is there within these instructions. Similarly, those who follow in the footsteps of Brahma should strictly accept only the parampara explanation. So, if you see the 10 offenses we were just reading in the Harinam Chintamani, we are discussing the main reason for many kinds of offenses is trying to search elsewhere other than the parampara. It immediately leads to a kind of offensive attitude towards our own literatures. Or it makes one feel that our literatures are maybe insufficient to bestow the highest goal. We need something other than what our acharyas have given. So the moment we start searching elsewhere, immediately a kind of offensive attitude comes. Either it is towards the Vaishnavas, or sometimes we feel that when we are submissively hearing from some other people who are non-devotees, but they may be more dedicated to their mission than we are. When we give a submissive ear to them, immediately we start thinking, "Arey, hum kya kar rahe hain? We just kaake so rahe hain, kuch bhi nahi kar rahe hain." You know, that kind of an offensive attitude comes towards our own devotees. Why? Because we lent a submissive ear to someone other than. So, we think that, no, I am just appreciating the external things that he is doing. I am not supporting his philosophy. But what starts as appreciation of external things eventually ends up in appreciation of philosophy. It's bound to happen, because our attraction to Krishna consciousness was also forced through attraction to person. And through attraction to person, eventually we started buying the philosophy. So, any philosophy enters only through attraction to personalities. Hitler was a powerful personality, therefore people bought his ridiculous philosophy also. So therefore, when we are hearing from personalities who are not in our parampara, especially submissively, if you are hearing means what? Hearing, reading, everything. then it is just a question of time before we will start doubting the potency of our own philosophy, our own books. We will end up concluding that these books are not sufficient, we need something else to achieve perfection. Such conclusions will come if you are lending a submissive ear to someone or people from outside our own sampradaya. So, therefore, Prabhupada is writing here that similarly, those who follow in the footsteps of Brahma should strictly accept only the parampara explanation. Parampara explanation means our parampara explanation. Because different paramparas, they have their own mood, sometimes their own flavor and their own destination is also different. It may not be prema, it may be moksha in many paramparas. So therefore their explanation there is different. Okay, and we may not be able to resolve the contradictions that we see because of our immaturity. Because tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya has happened in one parampara. And the other parampara writings, we have not surrendered to their guru and learnt. So the extent to which that knowledge can get transmitted is also limited. So therefore we have to be careful. So therefore when Prabhupada says that we have to strictly follow only parampara explanation, it means our parampara explanation. Yes, bro. Can you pass the mic?
Hare Krishna. In this regard, there sometimes devotees feel very inspired to speak about some other examples of other paramparas where some things are very graphically and very heart-touchingly
explained
or seen in the lives of other Vaishnavas.
Correct.
So, quoting such examples or quoting such things.
Yeah, that is fine. You know, whatever we need to know about Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya or other Sampradayas, their stories, you know, Maharaj has already explained it in unlimited number of lectures, giving the right perspective of each of the pastime. So as long as we accept through that source, you know, so our parampara's perspective also comes. Even though the story might be from another Sampradaya, but the perspective is from our parampara. So what we need to learn, so that comes. But when we accept it from elsewhere, that right perspective may not come. And here he is not quoting philosophy. Here he is quoting stories, pastimes. That's perfectly fine.
So also it depends on the maturity of a person.
Yeah, yeah. So Prabhupada writes here, similarly, those who follow in the footsteps of Brahma should strictly accept only the parampara explanation. Without service, one cannot understand this knowledge by speculation. So we should have served also. When properly understood from a spiritual master, it naturally should lead to detachment. This stage is called Brahma Bhuta stage or Atma Rama stage. This stage is indicated by the words, Evam prasanna manaso bhagavat bhakti yogatah bhagavat tattva vijnanam mukta sangasya jayate. From this stage one can then understand the mystery of God. So Prabhupada is step by step explaining how slowly one comes to the stage of understanding the mystery of Godhead. But it starts with fidelity to one's own parampara. Very strictly adhering to one's own parampara teachings and having full faith that this sambandha gyan given by our acharyas, this abhideya gyan given by our acharyas and this prayojan that is given by our acharyas is sufficient. That faith should be there. From this stage, one can understand the mystery of God. Because Brahma qualified himself for such an oral reception, the Lord spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. Like that, Srila Prabhupada explains. So, this brings us to the end of Chatushloki. So, when we again convene at 2:30, so we will quickly finish the rest of the 9th chapter and then see how far we can cover in the 10th chapter. And whatever is left of the 10th chapter and the canto overview, we will see tomorrow morning session. That will be the last session. Okay? Srila Prabhupada ki, Srimad Bhagavatam ki.